is what I read earlier from Matthew 19. The people brought their little children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them to bless them and pray for them. And when Jesus' disciples saw this, they told the people to stop bringing their children to him. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, don't stop them, because God's kingdom belongs to people who are like these children." And after Jesus blessed the children, he left there. It says in the previous chapter that Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, "Well, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said, "Well, the truth is this. You must change your thinking and become like little children. Because if you don't do this, you will never enter God's kingdom. The greatest person in God's kingdom is the one who makes himself humble like this little child." So both of those scriptures refer to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Or maybe, you know, we just call it heaven. Have you ever wondered where heaven is? Where's heaven? Interesting question. We usually think, don't we? Usually think that heaven's up there and hell's down there. That's traditionally kind of how we imagine these things. Maybe heaven is on the edge of the universe. Now, scientists reckon that the universe is billions and billions of miles, you know, from here. The edge of the universe is billions and billions of miles. And if you were to travel at the speed of light, which is pretty fast, it would still take you billions and billions of years to actually reach the edge of the universe. Maybe at the edge, maybe heaven's there. Don't know. But interestingly, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified on a cross, there was another man that was crucified next to him. He was a thief. And this man said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Today. Today. How can today he suddenly step into heaven if heaven is billions and billions of miles away and billions of years away? How is that possible? The thing is, you see, heaven doesn't exist in time and space the way we think of where places are and how to get to places. It exists in a completely different dimension altogether. It exists in a spiritual dimension. You see, God's kingdom is actually all around us, everywhere around us. But we can only appreciate, we can only see God's kingdom spiritually through our spiritual senses. We cannot experience, we cannot see the kingdom of God. We cannot see heaven just using our natural senses. Sometimes you might have heard a phrase, "when heaven touches earth." Sounds really poetic, doesn't it? When heaven touches earth. But what people mean when they say when heaven touches earth is sometimes strange, miraculous things happen. Sometimes people will get a miraculous healing, a supernatural healing. And that's, you know, that's a spiritual thing that's happened at heaven. Touches earth. But to experience God and experience heaven and experience the fullness of God properly and fully, you can only do that with our spirits. We can only do it spiritually. So how does that happen? How do you get your spirit to recognize and enjoy God? And how do you get your spirit to appreciate this kingdom that's all around us? Well, somebody asked Jesus that very question. It was a guy called Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus one night. And, you know, Jesus said, "Well, you need to be born again." That's what he said to Jesus. "Unless you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God." You know, today, we've just thanked God and we've prayed and we've blessed Jesse and Louis. But, you know, it's not that long ago. In fact, it's less than a year ago when Jesse and Louis, their world was completely different. They were inside their mother's womb. It was lovely and warm and safe and protected in that womb. They were fed all the time. They wanted for nothing. That was their world. they probably could hear the heartbeat of their mothers. What a wonderful world these babies lived in. But you know, they weren't made to stay in the womb. That would be crazy, wasn't it? That's not what they were born for. They weren't born to stay in the womb. You know, I want us to do a bit of imagination now. Imagine these babies were in the womb, but they had a kind of an adult mind to think and to reason. Imagine trying to tell these babies, well, outside of this womb, there's another world. It's full of trees and seas and rivers and beautiful animals, the sky and the sunshine and the rain and the freshness. It's an amazing world. And it's a world that you were made to live in and enjoy. I wonder what these babies in this womb would make of that kind of reasoning. Would they understand it? Would they even believe that that world existed? But it was this very world, this beautiful world, this beautiful creation is what Jesse and Louis were created to enjoy. But to enjoy it, they needed to be born. They couldn't stay in their mother's womb. To appreciate the world that they were created for, they needed to be born. And the Bible says that we have been created in God's image. And our true and full purpose and identity is only found in God. It's only really found in spiritual things. You know, we are created to experience the fullness of this spiritual world that is all around us. But we can only step into it. We can only enjoy it. We can only appreciate it. We can only even see it if we are born into it. If we are born again, just like Jesse and Louis had to be born into this world to enjoy the world around them. We have to be born again. You know, in the same conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus, Jesus, he went on to say this. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, to be born again, it's a spiritual thing. Your spirit has to be born of God. And it's something we receive by faith. It's about believing in Jesus. It's about believing that he died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And he did that to set us free from sin. And sin is what stops us from being born spiritually. That's the way to see what sin is. You know, often we think of sin, if you know what sin is at all, but often we associate sin with just bad things that we do. Thief, lying, you know, murder, all these bad things. Well, those are sins. But actually, sin is a state of being. We are sinful. It's not about what we do. Nothing we can do about it. We are sinful. That's how we are created. And the only way that we can appreciate spiritual things, the only way we can ever understand who God is and have a relationship with God is if we are born in the Spirit. And sin stops us. And what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago was to break the power of sin so that we could pray a prayer to God and say, God, I want to be born again. I want to step into your kingdom. I want to become spiritually alive. Now, I know that probably sounds absolutely bonkers. I know it does, because, you know, I'm a scientist. You know, I've worked 30 odd years in high tech industry. I did a maths and computer science degree. So I consider myself, you know, not stupid. But when I think of the kind of message I'm saying to you, it seems absolutely ridiculous, doesn't it? That there's this spiritual world all around us, and the only way you can have this spiritual world is if somehow you get born again of the Spirit. And Jesus did something 2,000 years ago to make that possible. Isn't it crazy? And you're sitting there thinking, preachers don't stand up and say what he's preaching is crazy, but I know it sounds crazy. And what will surprise you is the Bible thinks it's crazy too. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, says the teaching about the cross seems foolishness to those who are lost, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. We have to believe it. You know, I could sit down with each one of you personally or as a group, and we could have an incredible debate about Christianity, about heaven and hell, and about what it all means, and is it all real? And you know, we could argue the toss for an entire week. And let me tell you this, it will not make a scrap of difference. It will not help you ever at all become a Christian. Because becoming a Christian is something you have to receive by faith. You have to simply believe this strange message that God so loved the world, he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says we have to believe like a child. Believe like a child. Unless you come like a child, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So today, we've dedicated Jesse and Louis to God. And we've done that in the hope that one day, they might for themselves develop their own faith in Jesus. But what about you? What about you? Because today is not just about Jesse and Louis. Every one of us can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Jesse and Louis and these beautiful children who have been born into this world. But Lord, they've been born for so much more than just a natural living on this earth. They've been born, Lord, to experience the fullness of your love and the fullness of your kingdom, as have every one of us sat here this morning. And Lord Jesus, I pray that today, Lord, we will somehow come to an understanding of what it means to be born again, to receive you by faith. Lord, set us free from the things, the inhibitions that hold us back, the doubts and the fears, the uncertainties, all the ridiculousness of this message, Lord. And help us, Lord, to step into that fullness of you. I'm just going to pray a prayer. I'm not going to ask for anybody to wave a hand or stand up or come out the front or anything like that. There's really nothing cringy about this, but I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if what I've shared this morning about becoming a Christian kind of resonates with you, and if somehow you feel, yes, I want to be born again, I want to pray a prayer that somehow God will come into my life and I'll receive something of the Spirit of God, I'm going to pray a prayer. And you just pray it silently where you are. That's all you need to do. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that 2,000 years ago you died on a cross to break the power of sin that stops me from entering into your kingdom. And today, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Lord, will you help me now to be born again by the Spirit, that I might experience everything that you have planned and purposed for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.